praise the Lord. So Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Amen. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Yeah. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Christians and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Wow. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all you who are living in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Father, bless the reading of your word. Anoint it to our hearts. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen." You may be seated. What we just read is an account of the birth of the church. Some will argue this statement, but this here account is the first visible account of the birth of the church. Amen. You can liken it to like the head of a baby coming out of the womb of her mother. Yeah. When the doctor sees the head, he or she knows that very soon a full-blown baby will appear.
Come on now. Amen.
That baby has been shaped and formed in her mother's womb for 9 months. And now it's time for the baby to appear. The church had been being shaped and formed for 3.5 years through the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now it comes forth. And in a day, a formidable force is birthed. This force of 120 in number quickly grew when Peter and the 11 disciples stood up and Peter raised his voice. You can literally see the disciples, and mainly Peter, you can literally see them shift into action. You got to picture the scene. The disciples, 120 of them, together, united, even after 50 days of the physical, visible absence of Jesus, they're still united. And as they're all in one place, fellowshipping, praying, fasting, worshiping, in the Word, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God falls in that place and causes a shift in the atmosphere.
Well,
where they all begin to shift from the natural to the supernatural. And all of them are filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in other tongues loudly. So loud and long that it grabs the attention of thousands upon thousands of people around their community and around their city. Imagine the impact. What would God do if we had 100 believers filled with the same Holy Spirit of God today? Wow. This is why Vision 100 leaders is crucial.
Amen, amen.
But not just any leaders, Holy Ghost field leaders.
Amen.
So as thousands gather, they're amazed and they're perplexed.
The amazed are just in awe. They have a sense of this potentially could be a move of God. Those that are amazed here, they have a sense. They're standing in awe, and they have a sense. They could tell that this is a move of God here.
Yeah.
And this is why they stand amazed. This is why they stand in awe. Then some of them, the people that gathered around, are perplexed. They're like, what's going on? These people, they may have never experienced a move of God because they're confused, they're perplexed, they don't understand what's going on. So that tells me that maybe they hadn't been in the presence of one of Jesus' miracles. But those that stand in awe, they've probably been around a miracle or two. And so to them, they just stand in awe. This is why it's like to us, you know, to us that have been to church, we come to church faithfully, we stand in awe of what God does. Then there's others that come in and they're a little confused, they're a little perplexed, like, what's going on here? And so these that are perplexed, the ones that are amazed, the ones that stood amazed, these that have a sense of God is doing something here, these are most likely the ones that became part of the 3,000 that ended up getting saved that day. Because if you read on, if you finish the chapter, at the end of the chapter, it says that on that day after Peter stopped preaching, 3,000 got saved in that one sermon. It was the ones that were stood in awe that most likely gave their lives to Jesus. The ones that were perplexed, these had probably never experienced a move of God. And they would teeter-totter between giving their life to God or not. Some of these believed that day, and others didn't believe that day. Then finally, you had the mockers, who not just rejected the move of God, but made fun of the move of God. They said, these are babblers. They've been drinking wine all day. These most likely became those who resisted the church, and they hated the church. So we see in this scene so much going on. It becomes almost like a roller coaster ride, starting slow with just the disciples together. Then it quickly speeds up with the power of the Holy Ghost making his grand entry into the church and into the world. The atmosphere stays high, but then the opinions of others try to slow down the move of God. It tries to slow down the move of God like it could, because it really can't. You can't slow down the move of God. And so here's where we pick up Peter, who along with the 11 stood up. This was a crucial moment in the life and the future of the church. This moment threatened the growth of the movement that was being birthed. This threatened, when they begin to mock, when these mockers begin to mock and say they're just filled with alcohol and filled with wine, all of a sudden, you know, this became a threat to the move of God. If Peter and the disciples would have not stood, would have stood up, if Peter and the disciples would have not stood up, 3,000 would have not been added to the church that first day of Pentecost.
Wow, come on, that's heavy. Bring it.
Peter seen a window of opportunity. He seen a window of opportunity with the amazed and perplexed. When he seen the amazed people and the perplexed people, when he seen the look at on their face, Peter seen an opportunity. He seen their reaction. He seen their curiosity and their vulnerability. And he also seen the danger of the naysayers. And so he shifted. He almost jumped to his feet and he jumped into action. I can imagine the scene. All 12 stood up. But then not a word was said. They all 12 stood up, and then they looked at each other. Because they were experiencing this same move of God. They were being filled with the Holy Ghost. They were excited. It was like a roller coaster. It was like, my God, something's happening here. Everybody's filled with the Holy Spirit. There's tongues of fire on everybody's head. There's something going on. There's a move of God going on here. And before they could realize it, they thought that they were just them themselves, you know, experienced this move of God. But then they looked up and they noticed that there was thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people standing outside their door watching what was taking place. The 12 begin to look and they say, my God, something's happening. And it's not just happening in the church. It's starting to spread outside the church. Oh,
good.
Peter seen an opportunity.
Yes, there it is.
The disciples seen an opportunity. And they understood that they needed to take a stand.
Come on.
But it was Peter. It was Peter that not only stood up, but began to raise his voice. They all stood up. They all looked at each other like, what do we do now? We don't have a church playbook. We don't have a pattern to follow after. No one's pioneered this thing before us. Jesus is not here no more. Jesus would know what to do, but Jesus is not here with us in the physical, in the visible. But they have the power of God living inside of them. They have been filled with the Holy Spirit. They have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now they had a boldness. Now they had a courage. This is what led them to stand up. But it was Peter that raised his voice. This verse that Peter stood up with the other disciples was used to teach me about leadership. My pastor taught me that it's leaders take a stand. Leaders take a stand when others remain seated. Leaders step up when others step down. Leaders step in when others step out. Leaders stand up when others remain seated. And on this day, Peter became a leader in this movement that would produce many leaders for generations to come. I want you to know that the church is just not the church, but we're a movement. We're a part of a movement that has produced leaders after leaders. That's how we've been able. That's how we're here. That's how we have the freedom to worship. That's how we're saved. Because leaders were raised up. Because Peter decided, you know what? I'm tired of sitting down. I'm tired of just letting Jesus take the lead. I need to stand up and I need to speak up. And I need to be that leader that God called me to be. And God is looking for 100 leaders that are going to stand up also and raise their voice and say, God, look no further. I'm just not going to look around, but I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to fill my life. And I'm going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with boldness and courage to the day I die. See, we must understand that it was Peter's leadership that saved the day and catapulted the church into a period of dynamic growth. Don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. Oh, Pastor, you're wrong. It's Jesus. Jesus used Peter.
That's right. That's right.
And Jesus has used man throughout the centuries.
Amen.
And Jesus used Pastor Sonny. And Jesus used Pastor Ed. And Jesus used Pastor Jesse. And Jesus used your pastor. And Jesus wants to use you, my friend. But you gotta allow Jesus to shape you and mold you like he did Peter. It was Peter's leadership that saved the day and catapulted the church into a period of dynamic growth. Wow. Say what you say about Peter. But the fact of the matter is that he stood up on this day.
Well,
and because of that, it made a lasting impact on the church.
Good.
Not only on the church, but upon the world.
Yeah.
See, this is why leadership is important.
Right.
Because leadership can save your day.
Yeah.
It can save you.
Right.
It can save your family.
Amen.
your community, your city, and even your world. Leadership can do that. But I'm not talking about, yes, I'm a leader and I'm your leader, but it's just not me being your leader. I'm talking about you becoming that leader so that you can save yourself. Come on. I know we're saved by the blood of Jesus. Don't get it twisted. It is the blood of Jesus that saved us from our sins. But you got to learn to make some wise decisions. You got to learn to use wisdom, the wisdom of God. My friend, you got to learn to stay in the will of God. And it takes you, it's going to take you leading yourself to the fountain of God. It's going to take yourself leading yourself to God, leading yourself to the will of God, leading yourself to the presence of God. Leadership can, the leadership in you can save your family, can save your community, can save your city, can save the world. We need leaders that will take a stand for Christ. Take a stand for the word, of God, and take a stand for holiness and righteousness. Yes. Sin is trying to overcome the church. Okay. My friend, the Bible says he's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. I don't care if other pastors ain't preaching it. I'm going to preach it. We're going to preach it because sin infects the camp. Sin destroys the church. We need leaders. It will take a stand. Sin will destroy your family. Sin will destroy your children. You got to take a stand for the word of God. Holiness and righteousness. We see Peter's life. Peter. I love Peter. I love Peter. Everybody likes Paul, David, but Peter was a knucklehead. Peter reminds me of us.
Yeah, the whole deal.
He reminded me of us. Peter was a big mouth,
yeah.
Oh, come on.
Violent,
come on.
Rough around the edges.
Oh,
huh? So what was some of the process that Peter had to go through before he stood up and became that leader? Before Peter stood up to lead, there's several things that happened to him. Before Peter stood up to leave, he was shut up. He was shut up. In Matthew 16:23, when Peter took Jesus to the side, he took him to the side to rebuke him in Matthew 16:22. And then in Matthew 16:23, because Peter didn't like the idea that Jesus was talking about his death, in verse 23 in Matthew 16, the Bible says that Jesus shut him up. He shut him up by rebuking him in return. And he told him, "Get behind me, Satan." And he put Peter in his place. He told him, "You don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." I want you to know that God has a way of shutting us up sometimes. Sometimes through our leaders, like in this example, in Matthew 16:23, Jesus was Peter's leader.
Amen, amen.
Sometimes God will use our leaders.
That's right, amen.
Or other times he'll use people close to us.
Yeah, right, amen.
And sometimes God will use life circumstances to shut us up.
Amen, amen.
Hello.
Life circumstances that are worked by him, that are worked out by God himself, that serve as a clear rebuke and sign that we are to be quiet.
Wow, that's right, amen. Yeah.
When you read that scripture, it put Peter on hush mode.
Yeah.
If you're smart like Peter, you will get God's drift and be silent.
Yeah.
Some who are foolish they'll keep trying to talk and defend themselves. But those who are wise will take their humble pie and swallow it. Before Peter was able to stand up as a leader, he was shut up. You might have to get shut up before you get stand up. Number two is that Peter got shocked. Shocked. See, this rebuke not only shut up Peter, but it shocked Peter. Imagine being called the devil by God himself. God himself calling you the devil. That's a shocker right there. Huh? Or imagine your leader calling you a devil. That's what happened to Peter. Peter was taken aback. Now, we must understand Peter really honestly meant well. He honestly meant well in the natural, realm. But he was totally wrong in the supernatural. And for the believer, the supernatural is all that matters. So here Peter is standing in shock, like, how did this backfire on me? Have you been there?
Amen.
I've been there.
Amen.
My motives were right in my own eyes.
Amen.
But there was something I didn't see that my pastors and leaders had to point out to me. They had to point it out to me in the form of a good rebuke. In the form of a good warning. I didn't understand it at the time, but now I understand that it was the process in my life God was taking me through so that one day I could stand up and lead effectively.
Amen.
You will be shocked in your process. But like Peter, don't let it derail you. Peter kept following Jesus. I'm sure that it hurt him, but he sucked it up. He sucked it in and kept on chugging for Jesus. Kept on following Jesus. Not only was he shut up, not only was he shocked, but then he was slowed down. He was slowed down. In Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, it's the account of the Mount of Transfiguration. The account of the Mount of Transfiguration. Turn there, Matthew chapter 17. Verse 1 through 9. It says in verse 1, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased, listen to him. You know what really happened again right here? Peter got shut up again. God in heaven was listening to this knucklehead, and he said, you don't even know what you're talking about. So he had to interrupt knucklehead Peter. He had to interrupt him. Huh? And then in verse 6, he says, when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone. And I bet you, you know what, when he said this, don't tell anyone, he was looking straight at Peter. Right? Like, there's other two there, but you know he's really talking to Peter. Huh? So don't tell anyone what you have seen, big mouth Peter, until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead.
Wow.
See, here Jesus and God from heaven has to slow Peter down. God from heaven, he had to slow Peter down because Peter was about to get ahead of himself. He wanted to do something that was unnecessary and uncalled for.
Yeah.
And check this out. And even in vain.
Uh-oh.
In vain. In vain means empty.
Yeah.
Vain means it doesn't mean nothing.
Yeah.
Huh? See, Jesus didn't want to build a monument. He wanted to build a movement.
Wow.
Peter was talking about building monuments.
Yeah.
Let's build 3 shelters, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you, Jesus. It's a good idea. Huh? Oftentimes, up-and-coming leaders let their zeal get away from them. Even as leaders, you can let your zeal get away from you. Again, they mean well, but not having a full and firm understanding of what God wants to really do. Listen, I'm sure Peter was feeling good right now. On the way up to the mountain, he was feeling good. He was feeling good about himself. He was one of the 3 chosen to go up the mountain with Jesus. He just experienced a powerful move of God through the transfiguration. He must have felt privileged, entitled, and empowered, and on top of the world. But he needed to learn to slow down and wait on God. A lot of times, this is what happens. We feel good. We got some victory. We're not drinking no more. We're not partying no more, man. Man, we were able to. We're not getting fired from our job no more. We're not spending all our money on dope no more. Man, we're feeling good about ourselves. But then all of a sudden, we're not careful. We feel so good. We think that we're on top of the world and we can do everything. And if we're not careful, we can end up trying to get ahead of God. Listen, there will be times when God has to slow you down.
Yeah.
Or you may even feel your leader is slowing you down. But in reality, it's God pushing the brakes on you.
Yeah.
And he's doing it for your benefit and for the benefit of others and even for the benefit of the movements.
Yeah.
Because he understands that, you know, it's not healthy for you to speed up like that.
Yeah.
See, during these times, it's important to trust God through the process. When God is slowing you down, when God pumps the brakes, it's important to trust God through the process. Remember that slowing down doesn't mean stopping. See, God doesn't want to stop you. He doesn't want to stop the growth, stop using you. It's not about stopping. Huh? Tell your neighbor, don't stop. Slowing down doesn't mean stopping, and it doesn't mean procrastination. Procrastination, taking your time, procrastinating. It doesn't mean procrastination, but it does mean to be more aware and more cautious. It's like when you're driving and you pay attention to the speed limit, those that pay attention to the speed limit. If you're going on the highway, right, you're taking a long trip, you know, and there's some parts on the highway in Texas you can go 80.
Right, that's right.
Some places you can go 75.
Yep.
Some places you go 70, and then some places it brings it all the way down to 65.
Oh, right, yeah.
Some places down to 50.
Yeah.
Huh? There's a reason for those signs. It's not that they don't want you to get to your destination at the time that you need to be at your destination. No. The reason why the speed limit slows down is so that you can be more cautious and so that you can be more aware.
Amen. Yeah.
Good point.
It's the same thing in the things of God. God wants you to be more aware and cautious to prevent a bad wreck from happening.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So we see in Peter's process that he was shut up. He was slowed down. What was the other one? He was shocked. Then, this next one, Peter was sat down. He was sat down. He was sat down by the Holy Ghost. And Luke chapter 22 verses 54 through 62, it's the account of when Peter denied Christ. We remember that part, right? Where Peter denies Christ. In Luke 22, for the sake of time, you can read it later, but it's right there. Luke 22, 54 through 62. We know that Jesus had warned Peter that before the rooster crows that he would deny Christ three times. Not just once, not just twice, but three times. And then we know what happened. Once he heard the rooster crow the third time, he felt convicted.
That's right.
He began to break and he began to cry and he broke down.
Yeah, right, heavy.
And here in these scriptures, Peter was sat down by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
He had fell away, he denied Christ, he cursed, and he was hanging out with sinners.
Watch out.
Come on.
The Apostle Paul sat down Mark. Because Mark had deserted them on the missionary field.
Yeah, I remember.
But then remember what happens later on. Mm-hmm. Later on, Paul restored Mark.
Amen.
And he said he is useful once again for me in the ministry.
Hallelujah.
See, being sat down is not the end of the matter.
Right. That's good,
man. Nor is it intended to harm or for harm. On the contrary, it's intended to better the believer.
Come on. Yes, good.
As he or she reflects on their mistakes or their mistake or their mishap.
Wow.
In order to learn and grow from the situation. See, God sometimes has to sit us down.
Amen.
So that we could pray. Reflect and grow.
Amen.
So that when he puts us back in the game, we are better,
Amen.
Stronger,
Amen.
And wiser.
Amen.
See, Peter went through all these before he stood in the place of leadership.
Amen.
He went through all these. I'm not saying you have to go through all these. You may not have to go through all these. You might have to go through many of them. I've gone through some of them. Gone through a few of these. Not all of them. Can't say I've, really bad, like, sat down. I haven't gone through, but most of them, yeah, I have. Peter went through all these before he stood in the place of leadership. And they were all for the purpose of preparing him for what God had for him to do.
Wow,
yeah.
And even with going through all these different things, God still wouldn't be through with taking Peter through the process.
Amen. Man, that's good.
Even after he already stood up as a leader, God still was going to take Peter through the process.
Wow.
There's two more that I want to share with you that God had to do in his life. Two more S's. They're all start with S. Two more S's that God had to do in Peter's life even after he became a leader. And they're hard ones. The next one is that God had to shame Peter. The process of shame. Peter was shamed. Nobody likes to be shamed. Listen, man, I know this ain't a message that, man, this is like, all of them are like, they're like, man, Debbie Downers, right?
Yeah.
Huh? But this is the real deal Holyfield.
Amen.
Straight from the Word of God. Peter was shamed. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 through 21. We'll turn there. We'll look at this verse. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 11. It says, when Cephas, which is Peter, came to Antioch, this is Paul. This is Paul writing, talking. I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Leadership had kind of changed over the years. It says, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles.
Wow.
Because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray.
Wow.
Paul says, when I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, which is Peter, in front of them all, open rebuke.
Come on.
In front of them all. Then he, I lost my place.
You are Jew.
I said to Cephas, run in front of that. I just can leave it right there in front of them all. He says, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. Wow. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? I can just see Peter's face turn red. His ears turn red hot.
Wow.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? Here, Peter is put to shame by Paul. Check this out.
Wow.
By Paul.
Yeah.
One younger in spiritual age than him.
Oh, wow.
You didn't get that. One that was younger in spiritual age than him. Remember, Peter had been hanging out with Jesus. Paul didn't get saved till later on in the book of Acts. We opened up with Peter preaching the first revival. Paul was still persecuting the church when Peter was having revivals. And here Peter is put to shame by Paul, who was one younger in spiritual age than him. See, if you're not careful, others will pass you up. Others will pass you up in the things of God. I don't care, you've been here. I don't care. We're going to celebrate 10 years in Victory Arch Grand Prairie this year.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't care if you were here all these 10 years. Somebody can walk in that door today. Somebody can come in the home tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful, they're going to be getting licensed. They're going to be getting sent out. They're going to be getting raised up. Come on, somebody. Huh? They're going to pass you up. Like Paul. Listen, I'm sure that Peter got angry at Paul.
Yeah.
And he even got angry at himself.
Right.
But Peter understood that the process that God takes us through never ends. He might have got upset. He might have got shamed. He might have got hurt. He probably looked at Paul like, who do you think you are, fool? But he knew one thing. So I can't. I'm wrong. What he's saying is true, and I can't say nothing about it because he got me. There ain't no need to argue back with him. Ain't no need to go back and forth with him. What he is saying is true.
He got me.
And I just need to eat this humble pie once again. I just need to take it and once again eat this humble pie with the grace of God.
Amen.
This is when Peter was already a leader. He was already a leader, but yet God had to take him through the process of shame.
Wow. Yeah.
Sometimes you got to go through the process of the shame. Sometimes it's called the walk of shame.
Yes, been there.
The walk of shame. You fell in off.
Yes.
You got caught up.
Yeah.
You got to take that walk of shame.
Amen.
Huh? That walk of shame, it don't feel good. It don't feel good. It don't taste good.
No.
It's rocky. It's rough. It's uncomfortable. But Peter took that walk of shame. Peter took a couple of walks of shame. Peter just didn't have one walk of shame. He had a few walks of shame.
That's
Yeah, when he got called the devil, he took the walk of shame. When he denied Christ three times, he took the walk of shame.
Yes.
And here in front of Paul, he's taking the walk of shame. I don't care how many times you got to take the walk of shame. I hope you don't ever have to take it once. But if you got to take it once, if you got to take it twice, it don't matter. As long as you eat that humble pie, and as long as you stay in the way of God, and the path of God, and the will of God. Come on, somebody. Because listen, I'd rather be shamed today than shamed when Jesus appears. Come on, somebody.
Amen, amen. That's right. Come on now.
The last S. Peter that I got for you tonight. The process of Peter is that Peter got shelved. Peter got shelved. He got put on the shelf. He got shelved. Peter is shelved as the apostle. Peter is shelved. He's put on the shelf. He's put on the shelf. He's put on the shelf as the Apostle Paul takes the leading role. Before, it was all about Peter. Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 12, it's all about Peter and the apostles, and mainly about Peter. Revival Peter, healing Peter, Peter's shadow healing people. All about Peter. Peter reaching out to the Gentiles, Cornelius and Peter. Peter, from Acts chapter 1 through 12. But from after chapter 12 in the book of Acts, there's no more Peter.
Wow, that's true.
Because Peter's put on the shelf. Wow. And Paul's taken off the shelf.
It's heavy.
Peter's shelved. There's 28 chapters in the book of Acts. But after chapter 12, you don't hear about Peter no more.
Wow.
It's almost as he's put on the shelf and Paul is put in the limelight.
Wow.
See, the shelf is a place where you are not being called upon.
Yeah.
Where you're not being used. Or you're not being sought after.
Yeah.
It's a place where it can get lonely, boring, and mundane. See, this can be a dangerous place. It can be a dangerous place if not used properly or gone through properly. If you don't go through this process properly of being on the shelf with the right heart and with the right attitude, it can be a dangerous place.
Yeah.
See, it's in the shelf season where if you're not sure of God's love for you, you will doubt His love.
Come on.
And His calling upon your life.
Ooh,
and you can begin to fall away.
Yep.
The Bible says in the last days there will be a great apostasy.
Wow.
A great falling of a falling away.
Wow.
If you're not careful, when you're in the shelf season, when you're in that shelf place, you begin to, if you're not strong, you begin to doubt God's love, doubt God's promises that were spoken over your life.
That's right. Yeah.
You begin to fall away. You can begin to fall away. But for an individual who is on the shelf, but knows that God loves them and has a purpose for their life, they will get through this phase and get to the next phase, which is a glorious phase. It's the glorious phase of a leader's calling. Which brings me to my last S. The show-off phase. The show-off phase. See, this part right here is the good part. This is where God shows you off to the world. He shows off your success and your prosperity because you have trusted in Him. For Peter, this is seen in his two books that he wrote, 1st and 2nd Peter. I believe by God allowing Peter to write these two books, this was Jesus showing Peter and showing the world, look at what I can do through a man who surrenders his life to follow me. Even when the process is not easy, but he didn't give up. He says, I can make this person into a seasoned leader, an author, and one who would impact the world for generations to come. Because of his obedience and his perseverance and not throwing in the towel behind all of these ups and downs, behind all of these times where I had to shut them up, sit them down, slow them down, behind all these times I had to shame him, shelve him, no matter what, he didn't allow that to stop him, but he stood in the process, he stayed in the process, he kept his heart in the game, his mind in the game, and said no matter what comes my way, no matter what I gotta go through that comes from God, because everything that I go through comes from God. Listen, I'm gonna be okay. I know as long as I keep on trusting God, trusting the process, at the end God is gonna raise you up and show you off to the world and show you that he may have hit some turbulence, they may have some mistakes, but nevertheless, look at the seasoned Christian that I have raised up. Look at the seasoned man of God and woman of God that I have raised up. Look at the seasoned couple that I have raised up. And now I can use them to make an impact, to write a book, to take a city, to start a revival, to be an evangelist, to be a missionary, to do my will. We can all learn from Peter's process, because Peter is much like us. Big mouth and in a hurry, prideful, well-meaning but misled, tempered, not perfect, and prone to mistakes. All these and much more was Peter. But if he can overcome setbacks, character flaws, mistakes, and still become a pillar and leader in the church, and in his day, then so can we. God's called you to lead your family, your church, and our world. So don't just go through the process. Grow through the process. Don't just go through the process. Grow through the process. You gotta get that.
It's good. Amen.
I know I talk about going through the process, but just don't go through the process. Grow through the process.
Amen. It's good, Pastor.
When you're shut up, grow through it. Don't get bitter. Don't get mad. When you're sat down, don't. If you're sat down, don't go bitter. Don't go mad. Just go through it.
Yeah,
if you're shamed, just grow through it.
That's right.
If you're shelved, grow through it.
Yeah.
If you listen, I'm talking about things that these are things that Christians that plan to stick it out for the long haul. Does anybody want to stick it out for the long haul? Or is this just like you're just doing this for like 6 months, a year, to get your wife back, to get your family back, right? That's, and then you get them back, and then you throw it out the window. No, this is a message that seasoned Christians will go through.
Amen.
You need to go through these things. You may not go through all of them. You don't have to be shamed. Act right. Zip this up.
Amen.
You don't have to be shamed. You don't have to be sat down.
Come on.
You're gonna go through one of these, and if you go through all of them, don't be down, don't be depressed. You're a Peter.
Amen.
You're a Peter, man.
Amen.
And the good thing about Peter is that Jesus said, "Upon this rock, upon this Petra, I will build my church."
Yeah.
Jesus built his church with a bunch of Peters.
Yeah.
You gotta be down. Just know you're in good company.
Yeah.
Just know you know that you serve a God that is able to get you through it.
Hallelujah.
Right.
And go through the process. And grow through the process. And grow and grow. And let God. And you know what? You know what happens when we go through these things? We're going to have to go through these things. You're going to have to go through these things. Some of them. Three of them. Four of them. Two of them. You're going to have to go through them.
Right.
You might feel shelved for a period.
Yeah.
You might feel like, man, nobody's calling. calling me now. Nobody's, they're not asking me for this. They're not asking me for that. It seems like they don't need me, or they're not asking me to sing. They're not asking me to, or whatever. You can go through this in the church. You can go through this in your family. You can go through this at your job.
Yeah.
In the world.
Amen.
You got a business. Nobody's calling you for business. Nobody's calling you for work. Nobody.
Yeah.
You're on the, because God got you on the shelf.
Woo!
God sat you down.
Amen.
Maybe there's a reason, there's a purpose for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just trust God. Trust the process. But don't quit. You keep following Jesus.
Yes.
You keep staying faithful to God.
Amen.
Faithful to your church.
Yeah.
Faithful, loyal. Don't stop. I've gone through these things. I remember feeling shelved. I remember right before they sent us out. You know, Pastor, what do you, like, look at me. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know why, you know. Maybe, I don't know. What did we use that much, you know? I knew what was going on, but I was like, man, but, you know, I'm still here. I can still preach. I can still, you know, I could be a leader, you know. Tell me to do something. I felt like on the shelf. But you know, let me tell you something about the shelf. You put things on the shelf, yeah, because you're not using them.
Yeah.
Like the books, some of the books you got at home, you just got them all on your shelf. They're collecting dust, right?
Yeah.
Not being used, right? They're just there, you know. Just there, collecting dust, you know. But then there's some stuff you put on the shelf, not so that you don't use, but so that you show it off.
Yeah, come on. That's good, Pastor.
And that's what God was doing in Peter's life. You know? You see, he was doing these, and he put them on the shelf. And maybe you put them on the back shelf at the beginning. But then when he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter, he said, oh, the wisdom that he wrote, the wisdom that came out of this man, because of the different seasons he went through. Because of the different S's he had to go through. And when he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter, that those books are full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. Those books are full of wisdom. Talks about how we're a royal priesthood, a holy people. So full of the grace of God. And God says, you know what? It's so good. You're just not going to have 1st Peter. You need to write a 2nd Peter, a sequel.
Come on.
And God put Peter, lifted him up on high. And he showcased his name and he put him in the Bible.
Yeah.
Because of all the stuff that he went through. We're going to go through things.
Yes.
You probably make a mistake as a leader. You'll probably, like Peter, disown God. You know, hang around with sinners and stuff.
Yeah.
Get caught up.
Yeah.
But Peter made his way back.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on.
Just like you make your way back.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Always make your way back. Go through the process. Peter, that day, 3,000 got saved.
Yeah.
3,000 got saved.
Wow.
3,000, yeah. And yeah, it was because of the move of God. It was outreach. It was evangelism and teaching.
Yeah.
Preaching. Huh? Together, the church did a big evangelism movement. They were all speaking in tongues. Got the attention of the whole city. There was more than 3,000 that were there. Only 3,000 got saved. Imagine how many people were there.
Wow.
They didn't pass out flyers.
Wow. Yeah.
They didn't even have a PA system and rally equipment. All they had was the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Wow.
All they had is they just allowed themselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit is what attracted all the people, thousands upon thousands. There could have been 10,000 people that day.
Yeah.
Only 3,000 got saved. But that's still a lot.
Yeah.
But it was because Peter stood up to be that leader. Imagine what will happen when you stand up to be that leader.
Amen.
You stand up and say, you know, again, I know that it doesn't happen overnight. But as you've been around for a while and you've gone through different things and different season and different things, you learn and you grow from them. And you know what God is doing? He's putting another notch on your belt.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
He's put another notch. And even the negatives are like positives.
Amen.
Because there are experiences and there's
right.
things that you learn
yeah,
from.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you learn and you grow.
That's right.
And like Peter, you look up one day, and that day you say, you know what? I'm ready to take a stand.
Amen.
I can stand today. I'm in a position where I can stand and I can be a voice for God.
Amen.
Be a voice for God. I can stand and I can preach and people get saved, but not just get them saved, but I can teach them. I can disciple them. I can train them. Not just go to the streets and win and say the sinner's prayer to them, but pick them up for church and call them and follow up for them and call and after the rally, get their number and say, you know what, I'm gonna call you. I'm gonna call you on Friday afternoon to see if you want to come to church. I'm gonna show up at your door. I'm gonna call you Sunday, but I'm gonna call you Saturday night. It's not just about winning them to the Lord, but it's about discipling them to God. We need leaders. We need leaders and not a disciple. People, and you know, I don't care if it's just one. I'm not asking you to disciple the whole world or the whole city of Grand Prairie. God is not asking us to do that. He's saying each one reach one.
Yeah.
Win one, disciple one. Disciple one.
Yeah.
It's
good.
And that one, and if you're going to disciple that one, disciple them good.
Yes.
Disciple them good. It may be your children. Disciple those kids good. God has called us to be those leaders. That's what the gospel's about. That's what the Great Commission is about. It's about reaching the lost. Not committing spiritual abortion. Just leading them to the Lord and then just, okay, well, if they survive, they survive. No. It's about following up on them. Calling them. Picking them up for church. Bringing them to church. Teaching them to pray. Teaching them the word of God. Teaching them how to serve God. Teaching them how to live right. Discipling them to the Lord. When you disciple them to the Lord, you can guarantee that get what? That they're not gonna fall away. When we disciple them, we're making a sure promise that they're not gonna fall away. When we don't disciple them, we're just like, okay, they said the sinner's prayer. Well, okay. But you don't know that they say the sinner's prayer. But then they backslide.
Amen.
How many times you backslid?
Hello.
Come on now. Remember you said the sinner's prayer?
Yes.
And then
yes.
You backslid how many times?
Uh-oh.
Or was it just me?
No,
I know when I said the sinner's prayer, I backslid. Come on, somebody. That's why every message I was getting at the altar getting saved. Right? Remember? It's like, man, you know, I backslid last night. You know? And then you confuse like the pastor and the leaders because like, man, you said the sinner's prayer last Sunday. But you're here at the altar again. We got to remember their babies in Christ. They probably fell.
Come on, amen.
They fell Monday. They fell Tuesday. They fell last night, but they're back.
Amen, amen.
They got that Peter's, they're back. They're not giving in. They're not throwing in the tub. That's good. But now look at you. Now look at you. You like, whoever say the sinner's prayer, and you know, you got some people still raise their hands all the time, but so you don't, you're like, okay, I know I'm saved. No? And if I did mess up, I said the sinner's prayer real quick. Right?
Yeah.
You repented, you confessed, you repented. But babies in Christ, they don't know that, so they need help. They need help. They need help. It's like a baby when he learns to walk. When he's learning to walk, he falls and scrapes his knee, falls on the floor, but he's learning to walk. You got to get back up and teach him to walk. They crawl before they walk. But then after a while, what do? You start holding their hand. Come on, let me teach you to walk. You got to grab both of their hands. Come on, we're going to teach you to walk. It's the same way with Christians, with people. We got to teach them to walk with the Lord. Leaders, you got to grab this. Oh, you guys are leaders, but especially you leaders on the front line, you need to grab this. You need to have disciples. I don't care if it's just one, you need to have disciples. Bringing them to God. Bringing them, coming up here and putting them on their knees and kneeling down next to them and teaching them to pray. Buying them a Bible, having Bible study with them. Teach them how to tie, teach them how to give, teach them how to hit the streets, teach them how to win a soul.
Yeah.
Teach him how to love God. Teach him how to love the people in the church. Teach him how to serve and be servants in the house of God. And get involved in ministry. How to love their pastors. How to love their brothers and sisters in Christ. How to stay pure and how to stay holy. Discipleship. Discipling. Get that's getting your hands dirty. That's rolling up your sleeves and doing the real work of God. That's what Jesus did with the 12 disciples.
Yeah.
So many times we can just get caught up. We can get caught up in the mechanics of ministry.
Yep.
We can get caught up in ourselves, in our own world, in our own life, in our own bubble.
Yeah.
And we're not careful. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years can go back like that. Like that. And we haven't discipled no one. Effectively.
Yeah.
We got to be able to look back and say, man, that's my disciple right there.
Yeah.
It's my disciple. I discipled that brother. And they're standing. They're standing. And once you do, you teach them to do the same thing. That's how the churches here today. Because leaders stood up. And they said, I need to raise my voice. I need a disciple. I need to train. I need to be that leader.
Yeah, man, it's good.
Let's stand up, church. Let's stand up. Stand to your feet. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. Let's go through the process. Let's go through that process. Be that leader. Be that one. What number are you? We're raising up 100 leaders. What number are you? Are you number 19? Are you number 25?
12.
Number 30? Number 40? Let's raise up those leaders. Let's be those leaders that God called us to be. I want you to lift your hands. Close your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We worship you, God. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray right now that you will begin to shape and mold, begin to formalize an army of leaders, God. You've been doing it already. Continue, God. Continue. There's leaders in this place. God, Peter had no idea what you would use him for when he first decided to follow you. But you had a destiny for him. You took him through the process. It wasn't an easy one. But thank God, Lord. Thank God for Peter. Thank God that he's an example for us, God. If Peter can do it, so can we. If you did it for him, you'll do it for us. God, there's leaders in this place that you're shaping, that you're molding, that you're raising up. Some are already in the process. There's some, God, they find themselves in one of those S's, God. Lord, encourage them. Lord, give them, God, an anointing that will propel them, that will push them, that will shove them into the future that you have for them. Like you did for Peter, do for us. Do for us. If you're here and you say, you know what? I want to go through that process. I want to be all that God called me to be. I want to become that leader. I want to become that leader. And I want to go through that process. I'll surrender my life to God. I've given my heart to Jesus, but I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue to stay on the potter's wheel. If that's you, I want you to come to these altars. Come to the altars. Let God shape you. Let God mold you. Let him mold you. Let him be that clay. Let him be the potter. Sometimes his hand is heavy, but let him do it anyways. He loves you. Go through the process. Trust him. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Some of you are already entering into the process. Some of you, you're way in the middle of the process. We're always in the process. Some of you gotta quit holding on and just let go. Just let go and let God take you. Jump into that river, that flow. Jump into that river, that flow. Allow God to take you away. There's leaders in this place. Some of you, God's going to raise you up to be Bible study leaders. Right now, I know you're not, you don't know the word all the way, but some of you got to show me. He's going to raise you up to be Bible study leaders, life group leaders. Right now, you're just going to the life group. You're just going to the Bible study, but there's going to be a time where you're going to be teaching the Bible study. You're going to be hosting and teaching. Some of you, you're going to be preaching. With some of you guys, you're going to preach. You're going to preach behind this pulpit. You're going to help me preach and build the church. God's going to give you a love for the Word of God. He's going to give you a love for God's Word. And you're going to all of a sudden begin to love to study and put together messages. God's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you. You hear me preach and you're like, man, wow, that's amazing how Pastor preaches. But one day God's going to use you to do the very same thing. God's going to raise up leaders. He's going to raise up more ministries. Ministries are going to be birthed. You're going to be head over security. You're going to be a leader of the children's ministry, the children's teacher manager. Some of you are going to be counselors. You're going to be good disciplers. Some of you are going to be real good at discipling. You're going to be able to talk to people, pour into people. You're going to have a love that people just want to be around you. They just want to be around you. You're going to, you know, they're just going to want to be around you. You're going to disciple them to Jesus, to your pastors. You're going to bring men and women to me and my wife. And you're going to say, Pastor, I've been working with this person already for a year, for 2 years, and they got the goods, Pastor. And here they are. Whatever you need them to do, you're going to release them. You're going to grab more disciples, and you're just going to be like a funnel. You're going to be like a funnel. Some of you are skilled. He's given you the skill of discipleship. Some of you, you're going to be good woman leaders. Some of you ladies, God is going to raise up a group of women around my wife. Ladies, women of God, both young and old, not just both young and old. Surround my wife. You're going to lift up her hands. You're going to help her build the United Women in Ministry. You're going to help her build the women's ministry. The older women are going to disciple the younger women, like the Bible says. The older women are going to disciple the younger women. And the young adult women are going to disciple the high school women, the high school girls, the teenage girls, and the junior high girls. There's some that you're going to have a love for our children. We don't want to see our children lost. And God's going to put a special love to say, you know what, man, I want to be a teacher. I want to disciple this next generation, the 2-year-olds, the 3-year-olds, the 4-year-olds, the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. God's going to give you a heart for that. Some of you, God's going to raise up evangelists. Evangelists, you're going to have a love for the streets. You're going to have a love for the streets. Like no one else, and you're just gonna want to hit the streets, and you're gonna get the street team together and rally the troops and do rallies and do dramas and do big crusades, and you're gonna be that evangelist of our church. There's gonna be multiple evangelists. We're gonna be able to do carnivals and pop up tents and have popcorn and snow cone machines and rides and bounce houses. And we're gonna be a light. We're gonna be a light because the evangelists are gonna be raised up. We're gonna have a strong counseling ministry. We're gonna have a strong counseling ministry. People are gonna come in with a spirit of depression and suicide and hurting. And they're gonna be hurting because they lost a loved one. They're gonna be grieving. But God's gonna put upon you the spirit of counsel, where you're gonna have the right words, men and women. You're gonna have the right words to minister and to counsel people and to bring them out of darkness. God's gonna raise up more worship leaders.
God's going to raise up more ushers and usher leaders and greeters and singers and a choir director, musician leaders. God's gonna raise up leaders. It's gonna happen.
Hallelujah.
We're gonna have ministers. We're gonna have ministers sitting in the front row.
Yes.
The front row's gonna be full of ministers.
Hallelujah.
Ministers of the gospel, pastors' wives, and pastors.
Hallelujah.
God's gonna bring them. Begin to see yourself. See yourself operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy, Jesus. We thank you for what you see in us, God. When we don't even see it in ourselves. We thank you that you look past our mistakes. You look past our failures, our hang-ups. The way you did for Peter, you're doing it for us. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just thank him tonight. Just thank him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we love you. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Somebody give the Lord some praise tonight. Come on, you believe that? You believe that? Give him praise in the house of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I feel that tonight.
Amen.
I really feel God is doing something in your life.
Amen.
I really feel God is doing something in our church.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep on praying. Keep on praying and believing God for us.
Amen.
Amen. Everything you hear me preach, pray over it.
Amen.
Pray over it. Amen.
Yeah.
Those 100 leaders, begin to pray, God.
Amen.
Raise them up. Those things that we were mentioned, say, God, raise them up. Raise up those evangelists. If it's me, let it be me, God. Whatever you want me to do, God. Do it, do it, do it, right?
Yes.
Just do it. How many are going to let God do it in their lives?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Were you blessed tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight I think we have some birthdays in the house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right? Amen. I know today is Shelby's birthday. Amen.
Yes.
Shelby's birthday. And then Mercedes turned 18, right? When? Yesterday? Yesterday she turned 18. Timmy turns 10 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So we got a lot of birthdays. Anybody else had a birthday? Anybody else? Amy also. Amy had a birthday. Sweet. Amen. She turned 21. Alex had a birthday last week. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And anybody else had a birthday? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, amen. Well, we got Shelby a cake right here. Amen. But we want to sing happy birthday to all of them, right? Praise the Lord. Amen. So, amen. Let's sing happy birthday. Amen. Are you ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
When it comes up to the name, say God bless you.
Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Why don't we have all the birthday people come up, amen, stay up here, and we're going to pray for you, amen. We're going to pray for you, the girls, come help us pray for the ladies, amen. All those that had a birthday, amen. Timothy, come up here, amen, to the gang warriors, amen. Some of y'all surround Alex, amen, surround Shelby, Mercedes, Amy, amen. Let's pray for them, amen. Let's pray that God will prosper them this year, keep them healthy, keep them saved. Many more years saved, serving God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that they'll be all that God has called them to be. Amen. Stretch your hands, church. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for Sister Shelby, Father God. Lord, for Sister Mercedes and Amy, Father God.
Lord, we pray for, God, many, many more years, God, healthy, saved, sanctified, that they'll fulfill your purpose in their life, Father God. Lord, bless them this year, Father God. Let it be a prosperous year, God. Lord, I pray that they'll continue to grow in your grace, Father God. Lord, we just pray for them, God. We pray for Timmy and Alex, Father God. We thank you for these young men, God, that you're raising up, God, young gang warriors, God. Lord, let them continue to love you, serve you, God. Bless them, Father God. We thank you, God, for our family, God, all of our children, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, give Jesus some praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. They'll have some cake in the green room, and if you want to get you a slice, get you a slice. Amen. Make sure you hug them, tell them happy birthday, show them some love tonight. We'll see you Sunday morning. Amen. We have streets tonight. Brother Brian and Brother Alex, amen, taking out the street team. Amen. So, amen, get with them. If you want to hit the streets, I mean, we got a lot of flyers for Dennis. We got flyers for the comedian on the way out. You can grab yourself a little stack of flyers. Maybe the Jose, can you grab some, or somebody from the home, get the flyers and put them on the table. Get you some flyers for Sunday night. The comedian, Dennis Gazzolia. We got flyers for him so you can invite your family, your friends. Let's pack this place out Sunday night. Also Sunday morning, we'll be here 9 a.m., 11 a.m. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. You are dismissed.
Pick him up. Well, it was already dark, and there was like six different places he could have been, and so like, I don't know where he is. So I was like, man, and like, figured if he could have went two ways. He recalled after he done did whatever he was gonna do. We pick him up, or he was hurt and he's gone. So I'm like, dang.
Diesel.
Say Sunday.
You look like a baby now. What changed?
Your mustache.
He didn't say nothing now.
Yeah.
He didn't. He looked like a baby.
No, we do need your help to help the movie turn in front of me.
For what?
The movie turn in front of me, actually?
I will.
Either it's going to be Friday or Friday or Saturday.
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
What is cold?
I'm trying to get, I'm trying to get Noah prepared to come over to you, bro. Next up, next week.
What a buddy!
It's 6 days a week. You get Saturday off. Sunday you'll go back, but like at nighttime, I think it's like at 6.
So you gotta work tonight?
Yeah. And then you get Saturday off, and Sunday you go back at 6. And then
that's cool.
Right. So guaranteed overtime. They do it overnight, so. I'm already used to doing that anyway, so. Keep a nice eye. Know what this is. But. Okay.
Looks good.
Turned out no food, so.
What up, Olive Bruce? I'm gonna have to leave and then you'll be up here training and I gotta come back. It's just ridiculous.
That traffic is terrible.
It really is. You know I don't like driving.
I'm taking my pizza. Alright, well.
Alright, Rock, take it easy.
Alright.
Yeah.
Christian? Here's one more. Oh, you have it all in your mouth.